Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 4th, fourth day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the state of California fire chief.
Stop. Stop. I'm going to leave.
I know there's a guy's name. Okay. Well, we won't do the guy's name.
Last year, who was
so
it?
So is it the...
Ronnie Coleman?
Yeah, okay. Fine. Nobody knows him.
You know, the fire guys.
Fire chief of the year? Is that what, for the state of California?
That's correct.
For regular guy?
Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Good. Yeah. Ken Woods.
Next topic.
Congratulations.
Next question.
Who won the fireman of the year?
The conference was strictly chiefs.
I see. So they were out... side in the parking lot having their own little gathering while you guys were inside
in fact,
with the lobster and the caviar.
Yeah, lobster. In fact, during the conference, we were at a hotel in Sacramento and the fire alarm went off. And, of course, the fire engine showed up and the 150 or so fire chiefs all looking at each other. I'm not leaving. Are you leaving? I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Well, good. At least you guys didn't all dive under the table.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. No.
Oh, good. Well, at least there were stories in association with your story.
Yes.
Way to go. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the fires that have been going on in the area. Certainly, fire alarms and whatnot. It's time to pay attention to that. Also, maybe a couple new laws that need to be considered. We got a couple of different things to talk about with the fire chief of the year, Ken Woods, when we return.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chief Ken Woods from the Humboldt Bay Fire Department. See, I got it right.
Very good.
Yeah, slowly.
Starting off the new year right.
Slowly. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, that's a fun one. George Bernard Shaw, sometime between 1856 and 1950, said, quote, "Hell is full of musical amateurs."
That's good.
Oh boy. So what has life been treating you the last couple months?
Good. Actually very good. We had big news in passing our JPA between the city council and the fire district. So we're making steps to implement the first phase of that. And the consolidation has been going real well. In fact, January 1st.
Yeah, I've been hearing it's been getting recognition throughout the region.
Really?
Yes.
Moving on. January 1st was the first day that all city and district firefighters were incorporated together, permanently assigned to different stations. So now every station had former district and city firefighters. They're all working together now.
All and locked and loaded?
It was a huge step. And as one of our firefighters said, because of the red and yellow fire engines, every hot dog now has ketchup and mustard. It was a very positive step.
And keep the relish guys out of
yeah,
there.
We're gonna,
okay?
Yeah, we don't want that.
Keep them in Fortuna.
We don't want that. Right. But really a big step, and the employees have just been absolutely fantastic working together. Labor and management have been very productive in how we've been moving through this consolidation, and we've made a huge amount of progress in a short period of time. So I'm really proud of the crews and what they've been able to do.
Is there much more left to happen, Ken?
There is on the financial side. The first step will be the JPA hiring the fire chief and the training officer. And then step two is the complete consolidation of both administrations between the district and the city. Phase three will be the final hiring by the JPA of the line staff, the firefighters on the engines every day.
Are those just perfunctory?
No, it's we have two unions. They need to work to combine. We've got a lot of procedural things we have to do. budget-wise, iron out some things. So it looks like the end of this month, probably the JPA board, newly formed board, will have their first meeting and take care of the procedural, governmental-type appointing people to positions, and then we'll move forward from there into the different phases.
I mean, there's no thought that some of the troops won't be hired.
No,
or
absolutely
that you
not.
Wouldn't be hired. I mean, it's just kind of...
Yeah, I'm anticipating I will be, but,
yeah.
You know, the day's not over.
So, yeah, okay. Fair
but
enough.
No, we will be retaining all of the employees. We have plans down the road to, through attrition, to work down in our numbers of administrative staff. But for now, everyone will be brought on board. And there's cost savings in that because of just the eliminating the duplication and greater efficiency.
Well, I would think initially there's a lot of extra work that has to be done anyway.
There is. It's
even just melding the records for historical purposes.
It is. And really, you know, you're not only taking two separate cultures and taking the best of both and making them into one, but you do it with all the administrative side of things, the policies, procedures, one fire prevention bureau instead of two, one public education program instead of two, all those types of things that we'll be looking at, you know, really culling out what's the best of from both two separate programs and making it into one even better program.
Makes it a little bit more challenging, I would imagine, on the front end of it, but now as most of it's in the rearview mirror. Are you impressed with how much work there was, or kind of like, okay, it's been interesting, but, you know, we're still focusing on the future now?
Yeah, we're still focusing on the future, and really is what we can do to improve our customer service, how we can provide a better product, and as we continue, the fire service continues to fulfill a broader range of missions out there, whether it's, you know, water rescue, urban search and rescue, hazardous material, what else will we be called upon to do, and how do we prepare for that as we go forward into the future? Because we're all risk, and when people call 911, we can't say, oh, we don't do that. We're going to show up and we're going to take care of it, and really trying to plan then for the future what those needs will be as we go forward.
Regardless of what side of Harrison Avenue somebody's on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're beyond that. That is in the rearview mirror. Right, right.
Okay, for everybody who's not in the Eureka area, that's the city boundary is in the middle of a street, and that was a battle of, you know, what side did the dog die on?
Long ago, those are done. Yeah, red, yellow, or yeah, right.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Nowadays it's cold outside, especially if you can't afford warm winter coats for your children. That's where Coats for the Cold comes in. This homegrown organization collects donated coats, cleans them, and distributes them to needy people. It began in 2008 when Robert Lone saw sharply reduced coat prices in a store, bought a batch, and donated them to the Eureka Rescue Mission. Beginning late in January, Coats for the Cold will give out over 1,000 coats in the county, now including southern communities. To donate a coat, new or lightly used, there are 50 Humboldt locations where you can drop it off this month. Find them on this website, coatsforthecold.org. That's coatsforthecold.org. Volunteers from Teen Challenge and other organizations will give out the coats to children. Your warm heart can keep them warm this winter. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, as you consider this time of the year and some of the challenges that are out there, when you mentioned hazardous materials earlier. Okay, I mean, you know, the chemical lab blow up, okay, fine. We, mm-hmm. we get that. The high school chemistry experiment gone awry.
Right.
We get that. But when you talk about hazardous materials, is that what you're talking about?
It really is, and it could be anything from the housewife cleaning in the bathroom that decides to mix a couple different cleaning products while cleaning in the bathroom in the toilet to a cylinder that falls off a truck that is not tagged and identified. And you know,
so a mystery thing.
Yeah, here you have something in the middle of the street that you don't know what it contains, a powder that's been spilled in the street. So all those types of things that when they're not easily identified, they create some real problems for us in identification and quickly trying to determine then, is it a hazard or isn't it?
Is it because this stuff, there's so many different things that are out there now? I mean, you go back 25 years ago, I was like, okay, white powder, hose it down, right. Get it out of here, something's in the middle of the street, you roll it over to the side, maybe the guy will come back to it, no big deal.
You didn't think twice about, exactly, hosing something into the street. For instance, if you had a medical call and there was blood on the sidewalk and you would just hose it away. Now with the AIDS issue, with bloodborne pathogens, all those types of things, you can't do those kind of things anymore, and you certainly get in trouble when you do. So it does complicate the issue, and it causes some additional challenges for us on a regular basis.
So even if you hosed it off, you'd still have to put some kind of a treatment on it.
Yeah, you
just
use
because
bleach,
there's some leftover.
Right, and you know we
just
don't
go to old fashioned Clorox, dump it on there.
You can, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really?
But then you don't want that going into the bay.
That's what I was wondering. If that probably isn't as nice to put
right.
into the
system.
Right,
so you have to be very clear on that it's not going into the storm drains, and whatever the product may be, a car battery. You used to see lots of car batteries on the road and on the side of the road, and we would leave those years ago for Public Works to come by and pick them up, and now those things are leaking and they cause problems and people get into them, and it really, again, compounds the issue with whatever the product may be. But you're absolutely right, there's so many different products out there.
Somehow that's disturbing. Oh well, I guess things change. But if it's wet,
well, that's
you have to start damming things, the gutters, and do
we
the
do.
Stuff like
we
they
do,
do.
When we have a fuel tank leaking gasoline, one of the first things we do is we trace
light
it down.
Light a match. I know you guys.
Yeah.
Make sure it's gas, right?
Matches with us, right. But we want to trace immediately where that is going so we can dike off the storm drains and keep it from entering the bay. And that's a big concern of ours.
Because it is, or because the law says it is?
Both. I think obviously the law says it is, but also the law says it is because there's ramifications that it has. There have been, as you talk about, fuel in the sewer system, and there have been cities that have encountered a number of explosions in surrounding residences from a fuel spill. And we want to try to avoid those at all costs.
So you're not a big fan of National Lampoon's Christmas?
No.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, okay. But that could happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just,
it can't, no.
Just giggle
no,
stuff.
No, and it has, yeah. It has. So.
However, that would be funny.
Yeah. Not if you're in my shoes.
Yeah, well, yeah. As long as you're not right there when
right.
the event happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we would try to avoid that. Thanks. Don't put any ideas out there.
So you're attempting to defend your title now, too,
yes,
aren't you?
I am. You're not helping.
Hey, I'm doing what I can, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Take the heat off.
Yeah, I knew I could count on you.
Yeah. So when the trucks are rolling, you guys have got that kind of stuff on board just in case that might be what the event is that you run
we
into?
We do. We carry absorbent pads, small booms, dikes. So we carry absorbent. Almost every vehicle accident has some type of spill, whether it's antifreeze, whether it's brake fuid, transmission fluid, fuel. So we're using a form of kitty litter out there to contain and absorb that material, and then that material needs to be disposed of.
Is that like to the dump, or is this now?
Yeah,
it's
a hazardous material, and normally the tow companies, as part of their responsibility, is to clean up that material, that absorbent, as well as they're removing the vehicle.
So, is that the same material that they'll use at the gas stations for the spill or the overflow, that kind of stuff?
There's a couple different products. We use a solid product. You'll see at some of the gas stations where they use a liquid product. We don't use that. We're sticking with a solid, like a kitty litter type material that will spread out on the ground, move around with a broom to absorb, and then we shovel it up and go from there.
As any good kitty litter ought to be.
Exactly.
Shoveled,
right.
Yeah. The liquid stuff sounds like kind of interesting, though.
It's a.
Can you keep that out of the stormwater?
That's part of the problem with it,
okay.
And it's a newer product. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I know some places are using it.
You have the basic concept, though, of putting liquid on top of a situation and having it be taken care of properly.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Thanks.
So the theory is there.
The theory is there.
The application is still a little weak.
We're
huh?
working that out.
Yeah. You know, I understand there's a couple of training facilities in the neighborhood you might be able to take
really?
Advantage
you
of.
Think
and,
so?
Yeah, stand out in the street and squirt.
Maybe we can talk later. You can point those out to
me. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. Oh, boy. We'll see what the second half holds when we come back.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There are some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Wood from Humboldt Bay Fire. Ken, some of the different challenges I know that are out there that you guys run into are frustrations. Some of them are related to drugs and, you know,
absolutely.
Cultural issues, I guess, to be foo-foo about it.
Yeah.
But you still have a chance every once in a while to have a fire.
We do.
And to respond to it and take care of it. You had one of those earlier this week. What was the scenario? Was there a lesson to be learned out of that one?
The lesson really is don't smoke and on your couch and probably fall asleep. That appears to be the cause of the fire was an accidental fire, smoking. The couch caught fire, and the resident was asleep in one of the back rooms. Fortunately, we were able to assist him in getting out of the structure. A couple of dogs did perish in there. But, again, important lessons are have a working smoke detector.
No detector.
And I'm not sure on that one. But the key, again, is you have to be safe with burning materials and how you discard them. But the insurance with that is obviously the smoke detector and having a working smoke detector because they do save lives.
I don't know if I should share or not.
Go ahead.
I came home and it was the turkey.
Uh-huh.
Right, okay. Now, I don't know if there was water that was supposed to be put in or if the burner was supposed to be turned off. But I come home, I'm hearing voice. Looking around, okay, nobody. And it had been the smoke detector saying, get out, get out.
Get out, right.
And, under the tin foil, it was more of a teepee. Okay, fine, took it. It's been amazing to me, and that was a little over a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
How long living the smell of the smoke is.
Right.
I mean, we open it up. The kids wipe down, the ceiling and down to where the smoke level. Either there's not a lot of air movement in the house.
Right.
But we have windows and doors open all the time.
Right.
Or there's just a real pungent and it just kind of hangs out for a while.
It absolutely, a small fire, the smoke will permeate everything. And that's, one of the biggest expenses. You think about the physically burned structural members or furniture, those types of things. But the smoke damage is huge, and all the items then you have to get cleaned, whether it's curtains, clothing, linens, all those types of things. Plus, again, it stays on the walls. And, we have so many people that have a small kitchen fire. And then afterwards, they're very embarrassed because all the cobwebs that they never saw before that now appear due to the smoke line. But it's the norm when we see it. But the smoke really does get in and sticks with it.
That's not regular like fireplace or fire.
It's
smoke.
It's
there's
different.
Something.
Well, the materials that you're burning, and we talked about products earlier, so many things are made from hydrocarbons now. It's not just good old wood furniture from the old days. It's petroleum products. And when those things burn, they put off chemicals, and again, they permeate into the walls and the furnishings that you have there, and it really sticks with it. When we show up, we try to set up fans to blow smoke and evacuate the residents and get the bulk of the at least the cloudy stuff that you're seeing out of the structure as quickly as we can. But a lot of the damage has already been done by then, and there's nothing we can do to prevent that once that point has already happened.
Yeah, the turkey took a terrible beating.
Yeah, well, next time call us and I'll come out and bring a camera in.
Yeah, it was kind of more of a jerky kind of a feel.
You'll be eating it all year. Yeah.
No, we took care of that one too. But that was just a small, the pan survived okay. I can't imagine you put some of the anodized steel or whatever your cooking implements are, copper, if you happen to have a copper set,
or right,
stainless steel,
right,
that's got to make that dynamic change really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really.
Right. So, yeah, and again, whatever you have around it quickly begins to deteriorate and melt and all those items that contribute to that smoke.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:41. We'll be back with more from Ken Wood.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, the drug situation we see in the area, I know you guys get a chance to kind of run into some of those types of things on a regular basis, but I would think the more concerning is the unstable. The situation with the fireman shootings was
New
in
York.
Hampshire?
It was outside of Rochester, New York.
Okay, yes.
Right.
You can't anticipate that kind of stuff, can you?
You really can't. You know, we're there for a specific reason, whether it's a fire or a medical call, and that's what our focus is. And you're there to try to help someone, and you don't think that those individuals are out to hurt the firefighters. We teach situational awareness, we try to emphasize with all our firefighters to be aware of your surroundings, to pay attention to what's going on. That we're not police officers, we don't carry weapons, we're there to help again. And
as I understand, you guys don't even know how to turn off a fire truck.
That's true.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah.
We've
never been instructed that.
First time I heard that, I think Stan Ehler, and he said, there was a story somewhere down in L.A., they were working the fire and some goofball climbed up in the truck and drove it off.
Yeah. And it's happening more frequently, it seems like. But, you can only do so much. And you're at their mercy, really. And that's what happened in New York in that horrible situation where those two firefighters were killed. And we hope it never happens here. But all we can do is try to, again, maintain some awareness and try to have a good relationship and have our police respond when there is any indication of any problems there. When it comes in a call as a violent situation, then we will not just show up.
Do you guys respond to that?
We will stage usually a couple blocks away and wait till the police go in and advise us that the scene is secure.
That's normally must be a medical response rather than a fire.
It could be a medical, it could be a fire of suspicious, someone is pouring gasoline, is threatening to kill someone, same type of thing,
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it could be any of those.
Have you ever had to respond to one like that?
Yes, we have. I have.
Really?
Someone was threatening to, had an open propane tank, 5-gallon propane tank, threatened to blow up an apartment building, and
that'd do it.
Yes, it would. Right. So we
kind of hang back.
We hang back. And again, the cops are better equipped to deal with those types of things. And they'll go in and essentially neutralize the potential threat there. And then we can go in and do our job, whether it's taking care of the victim, whether it's putting out the fire, mitigating the situation from there. But the potential for problem for our employees is huge, and it's always there.
So dispatch is the one that will...
Yeah, they're the ones screening those types of calls. When the call comes in 911, they do an excellent job of getting the information quickly and deciphering, does this appear to be a violent situation and a threat? And then they will dispatch the police simultaneously with us, but they always let our engines know that we need to stage and wait for the police department to clear the scene.
I would think it would be more than disturbing if you guys came running up and then discovered.
Fire
trucks don't have reverse, do they?
It is. They do, but they don't go very fast.
To get out of that situation.
Right. It's tough. You're in it, and again, then you're immediately faced with you're trying to mitigate the emergency, whatever it may be, and you're focused in on a medical, or maybe it's a family member that you're trying to help, and the other family member is violent. So you're trying to help somebody at the same time you're trying to neutralize the situation and calm it down with somebody that may not have the best intent for your firefighters.
Or the tools themselves to be able to, to back themselves off.
Yeah. Exactly, right.
Have you ever had anybody attack when you're putting a fire out?
We've had people that have gotten very belligerent that have tried their. Normally, it's the ones that try to get back inside that want to push their way to get a particular item or a pet. We have to physically restrain them because they're a threat then not only to themselves but also to our firefighters who are trying to extinguish the fire.
But not coming after, you're standing there with the hose and throwing it down. They're not going to come by.
Usually not that. It's more they're trying to get past us into the scene.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. There's not too many brandy points for taking out a fire guy.
No, especially at the fires because we usually carry the axes. So
you got axes and you got the water thing, too. It kind of gives you a little advantage.
Medical calls, the stethoscopes are not as well protective, but the axes work well.
Yeah, imagine that. Do you have much pilferage?
Once in a while we do. We do have, problems where... say you have a fire in an apartment building and you've had to evacuate several apartments and you can have people that are trying to get in to take things out of other apartments. We've had it where our engines may be parked in on a street. Everybody's inside taking care of a medical patient and something disappears off the fire engine. So, those kind of things, they do happen, unfortunately.
Was it the bravado? See, I can use fancy words too.
Really,
I don't have to just play in the gutter like.
Well, I was looking at the books here.
Yeah. easy. The pictures are very, very confusing. Thanks for coming by, Ken.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs and we love. See you tomorrow.